Houston Dynamo, Portland Timbers, Sporting Kansas, Los Angeles Galaxy,
Beach Pass,
Toronto FC, Salt Lake,
this is my red, white, and blue.
Chicago Fire,
this is my anthem to you.
Columbus Crew, FC Dallas, New York Red Bulls.
Pitch Pass, your all-access credential to the people that matter in MLS. Here's your host, Greg Roach.
Thanks for downloading this episode of Pitch Pass. If you've done it in the past, we appreciate your continued patronage. If this is your first time listening to the show, hopefully you will enjoy yourself. And if you do, make sure you spread the word to some of your MLS-loving friends about what we got going on here at Pitch Pass. At Pitch Pass, you want to follow us on Twitter, pitchpass.com, for everything, including past shows. We got a true Cinderella story lined up later on in the show in the form of DC United goalkeeper Travis Wara. I'll ask him about his whirlwind week that saw him at USL Pro on Wednesday, and by Saturday night, he was across the continent playing in his first MLS match ever. And also, what's life like as a loanee of an MLS team down on your USL Pro team? But first, it was a wild one in Houston between the Dynamo and Sporting Kansas City. Ended up all level at four, and the man who scored the long-range bomb that tied it up and got the point for Sporting Kansas City is our first guest. It's midfielder Benny Failhaber. He joins us right now. Benny, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's great, and it sounds like it's always a party. We had Jahlil Alibaba on a few weeks ago. There was a lot of stuff going on in the background during that conversation, a lot of stuff going on in the background. You guys love each other at Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We definitely have fun, that's for sure.
I saw that you guys, was it before or after the game against NYCFC where you recreated the pine tar incident?
No, that was right afterwards. Seth and Beasler were both very adamant about doing that, so we had a lot of fun doing it.
That was a bucket list thing for those two.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you get roped in, or were you like, hell yeah, let's do it?
I got not dragged in so much, but I definitely got asked. I was like, oh, sure, I got to see it, though, because I don't know it as well as these guys. I've seen it before, but I needed a little refresher so my acting skills could take over.
You know, that was going to be my next question is, how familiar were you with the pine tar incident? So you had to go and check out the video.
Right. I had seen it before, but, I didn't have a great idea of how it went, and I wasn't even sure. I didn't know that. George Brennan hit a home run on that play as well right before that. So, I was able to see it all, and they showed me on YouTube, and now I know it very well.
Oh, well, you had to. You had to get into the mindset of the role that you were playing.
Yep, that's right.
How did we decide whose part was going to be? Like, who got to play Brett? Like, how did we decide that?
Well, I nominated myself for the easiest part, so I was going to be one of the umps, and I didn't even get a choice to really – decide who was going to be George Breton, the other ump. I think they had already settled that. Seth and Beasler, I left it to them.
Is this how you do your acting? Do you immerse yourself in the role? Do you know it inside and out? Do you do the research?
I think you have to. You definitely want to, you want to portray who you're portraying the right way. So no doubt about it.
I saw that you guys literally in the last few hours unveiled your third jersey. How does a Benny Failhaber look in the new third jersey?
I have not put the new jersey on yet. No, I haven't put it on. I saw Dom Dwyer trying it on the other day, and it looks really good on him. But I think everything looks good on Dom for some reason. he has that innate ability to make things look good. So we'll see what it looks like on me on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, right on the front page of the Sporting KC website is Dom, but then the one that they're tweeting out is Beasler. So I thought everybody was just in them, and then we chose who looked best in them.
Yeah, if that's the case, then I'm getting pushed aside because I haven't even been given an opportunity yet.
Silver on white is a very interesting look. I know you're kind of a fashionista. I mean, not as much as in years past of, say, a Bobby Convy. But what were your thoughts and how much input did you have on the silver on white third jersey for Sporting?
I had no say on anything. But I do say that I like them. I think they're a nice-looking jersey. I'm still very partial to the striped jersey, the hoops.
Yes.
Or I guess not the hoops, the stripes, because they're not all the way around, but I like those. Those are my favorite. And I actually really enjoy the new first jerseys that we have. So we'll see how I feel in the white one, but it's nice, but I think my favorite is still the striped one.
And this is not just a slam dunk question for any other club. You'd go, okay, fine, this. But Sporting is kind of on the cutting edge of fashion as far as their jerseys are concerned. So this actually is, for me, a very serious conversation and one that could not be taken lightly. So I'm glad you're actually putting the thought and effort into it as well.
Yeah, well, we have to. I think, like you said, we're always trying to, you know, get something new and something exciting for the fans, and I'm sure they appreciate it. So we got to do our part as well in promoting it and making sure that it looks good when we're out there.
You guys had an interesting match over the weekend versus Houston. I don't want to say it was crazy, because as you watch it, it didn't feel crazy. But then when you just watch the highlight package, it's like, wow, that was a crazy match. Have you been involved in anything that high scoring before?
I don't know if I've ever been involved in a 4-4 draw, a draw that's that high scoring. I've definitely been in some games where, I think I've been in a game where we won 6-3 in Denmark, so some high scoring games.
Yeah.
But 4-4 draw, you know, I think that's very unlikely to happen, because typically when there are those high scoring games, one team tends to, you know, be the team getting, you know, all the offensive chances and then scoring quite a bit more goals than the other team. So, yeah, it definitely was a game that, you know, I haven't participated in before the way it went down. So it was exciting, obviously. You know, we were fortunate in the end to get that 1 point, but I think if we can clean some things up, those games are turning into 3 points for us as opposed to one.
When you're right, you kind of said it, that usually in those kind of games, it's usually one-sided, and the other team that's down kind of hangs their head, and that's when the goals start really bouncing in. It never got to that point. I mean, 3-1 was the furthest you guys came back from, which is still not an uphill climb or an impossible climb. At any point, do you guys – is it kind of like, look, if we just keep shooting, we could shoot our way back into this match? There's never a hang-your-head moment.
No, I think that's something that's very good from our team, is the attitude that we have, to come back in games and kind of never, you know, never quit. And I think you saw that almost as a microcosm in that second goal, where Dom was, you know, running his tail off to try and get on the end of that back pass to get us back into that game. And he did that. You know, he helped us get back into the game and feel good about ourselves. And obviously, you know, from then on, we pushed forward and obviously able to get that third goal, the red card. And I think if we really, you know, play the right way after that penalty, I think we probably come out with 3 points. But we didn't. We gave up a soft goal, and we're only able to leave with a point. But the attitude of our team, I think, is something that's you know, part of our DNA, part of our personality here.
I'm glad you brought up the Dom goal, because you brought up his work rate, and it was all work rate. And, you know, a lot of leagues, a lot of around the world, he goes down when Tyler gets into him, and then the PK comes up. But, you know, if I'm Dom Dwyer, I got to get up, because I realize that Benny is going to grab the ball if it's a PK, thus taking the goal away from me. So that might have been a little incentive to get up and hustle that goal in.
Yeah, well, Dom is going to get his goal, and there's no doubt about it that if he has a chance to score, he doesn't care what else is, you know, the other opportunities are, he's going to get up and put the ball in the back of the net. So we were happy to see him do that, and I'm glad that he's getting off the mark. He's gotten a little bit unlucky with some of his opportunities that have been just barely offside. I think he's had 4 goals disallowed, so he's going to come through for us, and he's starting to get to that part where that part in his game where he feels comfortable like he did all of last year. And you know, Dom's going to have his share of goals, so it's no one's going to stop him, not even me.
You know, your specialty, I'm going to go out and say, your specialty is long-range bombs from outside the box. You've made it a habit over the years of putting in balls like that, which, you know, if we're talking equivalency, this is the equivalency of kids doing Hail Mary prayer three-pointers at the buzzer when they're practicing or messing around on the basketball court. How do you practice these long-range bombs? Because they're not free kicks where you can just practice a setting like that. This is in the run of play. So is there a way, if I was, say, 12 years old, that I could practice doing these long-range bombs?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you can always replicate, you know, things that happen in a game. Obviously, if you're training, there's going to be times when you're playing with your teammates in small-sided games that you get the same opportunities that you get in game days, 11v11. So, in that sense. And then obviously, if you're training on your own, you can, set up balls for yourself, or you're either dribbling towards the goal and you have to take shots from outside the box, or you can have someone try and set you, volleys, bouncing balls towards the top of the box and things like that. So no doubt about it that you can train them. Even as a young kid, like you said, at 10, 11, 12 years old, you can be improving that part of your game.
You're really becoming a well-rounded box-to-box midfielder now. It's weird because most times as a player gets older, they start either moving forward into a less defensive role, so they have to do less running on the legs. You're going the reverse. How is this transition, if you even would call it for yourself a transition, to this more even defensive midfielder-type role that you've been playing the last few seasons?
I think, what you're saying is absolutely true, where typically once you start getting older, you start, losing some of that ability to move around for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's a little bit different because just the kind of player that I've always been is one that once I get to these years, 29, 30, 31, 32, I think those are really my prime years where I can do the most work, especially in the middle of midfield. So I've been able to obviously get that part of my game to another level since I've gotten here to Sporting Kansas City. That's partly due to the style of play. We work extremely hard on the defensive side of the ball and the pressing. And so you need that kind of endurance. And the way we train, we're able to maintain that endurance throughout this season. And, that's something that's benefited me tremendously this season and last season. And I think, for myself, I don't see, myself slowing down. At least I hope not, in the next few years. I want to try and keep that consistency there and maintain that kind of level of fitness so that I can continue doing the things that I'm doing box to box.
And you make a great point about, and one I'd never thought about 29, 30, 31 being prime years in a lot of other sports, that those are the prime years. But for some reason, soccer gets your prime years are 25, 26, 27-ish. But, the way fitness is and the way we take care of our bodies in 2015, there is no reason why 29, 30, 31 can't be prime. And maybe that's a new way we need to start thinking about rather than, he's 31 now, so maybe we need to start moving him into a position where he has less ground to cover.
Yeah, well, in my case, I hope that's all true.
You have to think that, exactly. I think we want to wrap up, Benny, with some really serious conversation about hair. I know you guys are in the middle, you specifically are in the middle of this competition or voting that's going on with Sporting KC. So please, for people who aren't in the Kansas City area, discuss Master the Mane and what it means and what's going on.
Master the Mane is a great thing that we're doing for charity, trying to raise some money for the Victory Project, which is Children's with Cancer Fund. And what we're doing is we have selected three very awesome haircuts, and by awesome I mean terrible. So it includes a mullet, a mohawk, and the Bieber haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And fans can go online and donate money to whatever haircut they want to see me wear on Sunday. And we will close I don't know when we're actually closing the actual donation process, but I'm assuming probably Saturday night or something like that. And I will be wearing whatever, can come up with the most money, whichever haircut comes up with the most money.
Now, I know you don't have a preference, but do you have a preference?
I do have a preference. My preference would be the mullet. I think, I think I tried to sabotage you a little bit by saying to include the mustache with the mullet, because I know a lot of people want to see the mustache as well. So I told them, yeah, if you guys pick the mullet, then the mustache will be part of the deal.
So you just saw Tommy McNamara. I don't know if you're friends with him or if you know him, but did you observe him from afar, maybe as he's warming up, and just kind of do the old hand on the chin going, I can see where he's doing that mullet. I like what he's doing there. I would do a little more severe here. Did you analyze Tommy McNamara's mullet while you were in New York?
Unfortunately, I did not. But now that you mention it, I can picture it in my head. And I think I don't know if I'm going to be able to do something similar to him, because he's got I think I've got two. My hair is a little bit too curly.
Yes.
But we'll see what I can do. Maybe I'll have to relax it or something chemically to make it look more like his and more flowy. But yeah, he definitely has a good one.
We'll post a link to donate and to vote on our page, pitchpass.com, for people who may want to participate outside of the Kansas City area. I know you're not the kind of guy that gets attached to hairstyles and facial hair, but is there any part of you that's, because you know you got a nice flowing mane right now, is there any part of you that's like, it's going to be a little hard to part with this hair?
No, not really. I've always been a guy that I like to, grow my hair sometimes, and then once it starts getting to the level that it's at right now, I like doing something drastic, either, chopping it all off or I guess doing one of these things. So I was, once they brought this idea up to me, I was pretty excited about it. And, I won't have too much trouble, I think, parting with it, but maybe I'll have to grow it back out once I do cut it all off.
You mentioned the mustache. We're trying to line up Jeb Broski for next week's show to get ready for the New York City rivalry or derby, if you will. He goes a little different than the way you decided. Your mustache was more blue collar. His was more old timey, highbrow crusted handlebar style. What are your thoughts on Jeb Brofsky's mustache as a guy who has grown a mustache, but a more man of the people type mustache on your own?
Jeb's is fantastic. I think there's only one mustache that beats it in MLS, and that's Pablo Mascherano.
Oh, of course.
Jeb's is fantastic. I hope he keeps that thing for the whole year. It definitely, you can't stop but stare at it while you're playing against them in a soccer game. So it's a great one. I like it a lot.
Does it ever, when you're guarding him on a set piece, does that mustache wax get on you and kind of get off of me?
Oh no! If it's touching you, you're just enjoying it.
I'm really glad that you did that. It's a tip of the cap to you because instead of being jealous or comparing your mustache to his mustache, you said, "Hey, look, I bow down to your stash. Well done, sir."
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the attitude you got to have. You guys, we're teammates. Mustache teammates.
With the head coach of Pablo Mascherano, it's a perfect combination.
Yeah.
Benny, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, man. Have a fun the rest of the year.
I appreciate it, man. I'll see you.
One of those personable guys in MLS. It's great talking with him. Benny Failhaber of Sporting Kansas City. Thank you to him. As we move to one of the more crazy MLS debuts that I've ever come across, maybe in the history of the league. It happened last Saturday, late night for the East Coasters in Vancouver, as DC United pulled 3 points from the Western Conference leaders, thanks in part to our next guest. It's goalkeeper Travis Wara. He joins us right now. Travis, how are you, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. You still, have you come down from the cloud yet that you've been walking on all week?
I think so. I think, right after the game, of course, it was hard to settle down and collect my thoughts and everything. But yeah, definitely now that I'm back in D.C., it was a nice Saturday night to enjoy what happened, and then, Sunday it's right back to work. So that's where my head's at now. It's just, back to work, getting better, and, getting prepared for whatever's next.
Kind of a whirlwind. You're playing in New York against New York Red Bulls 2 as part of Richmond Kickers. A day later, you're on a flight to Vancouver. You're on the bench, so you're probably just letting that all wash over you. Next thing you know, you're in a match. Next thing you know, your parents are in are all hugging, group hug on the field. Next thing you know, you got microphones in your face. Next thing you know, you're on a flight back. So when did it actually hit you of, oh my God, this all happened? This wasn't a dream.
Honestly, it was probably right as I got onto the field, and our captain Bobby Boswell is always, ever since I came in on trial, Bobby has been incredible to me, helping me out, and I had to fight through a lot of other goalkeepers to earn this spot, and I'm sure he's seen hundreds at this point of trialists, but it felt like to me that when I was on trial, Bobby really helped me out a lot and tried to give me some pointers. And during the game, as soon as I step onto the field, he comes up to me and says, "Congrats on your debut." And I was just, he's smiling. I'm like, this is a really serious moment. And instead of giving me instructions or telling me what to do, or don't mess this up sort of deal, he's like, "Congrats, have some fun. This is a big deal." So as soon as he said that, I really actually calmed down. I was like, you know what, he's right. Like, enjoy this. This is incredible. And, you know, like, it's amazing to get my debut, but there's still a job to do and just enjoy the process of it. So it was pretty quick when I really realized, like, okay, this is real, this is happening. And, you know, just go out there and do my thing.
How many times in a keeper's career, now maybe not you because you've been a starter most of your keeping life, but how many times does the backup get up when a keeper goes down, does the warm-ups, but he knows in the back of his mind, look, this is just for show. I'm not coming into this match because this guy's getting up. And then all of a sudden, yeah, it actually does happen. And you're like, oh, wait a second, I'm going in now. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, something I've always been taught, something by my parents that they've always taught me is, you know, expect the unexpected and be ready for anything. So, I mean, yeah, like you said, I've pretty much been a starter my entire career in high school and college and everything in between. So this has been something different for me, but I still treat it like I am starting, you know, like even if, you know, even on Saturday before the game, I watched tape on Vancouver as a team. I watched tape on each individual player. You know, I just looked up YouTube highlights, like, it, you know, try and get down some tendencies that guys might have and, you know, what's their preferred foot, where they like to shoot, when they like to shoot, all that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm just prepared for if the moment happens where the guy in front of me gets hurt or he gets sent off, you know, I'm going to be ready. So I'm, you know, I'm glad I went through my routine on the game day because I felt ready to come in and, you know, contribute, and, you know, I was happy to be able to do that on Saturday night.
I mean, what are the chances that the match that you make the bench for the first time in an MLS match is a under two-hour drive away from where your parents are, yeah, and then you end up in the match? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was insane, and they brought up something after the game, or I think they even brought it up before the game. They were like, you know, this is the cheapest amount of money they've ever had to spend to come out and see me play, you know, because, I mean, they were out in, they and my brother, that's just the four of us, the three of them came out to D.C. 2 weeks ago, just, they got to see the game in Richmond, and then the next night, the first team had a match. I wasn't in the 18, but, yeah, you know, I brought them up to the player's box, and we sat up there and watched the game, and it was funny, you know, just sitting up there. They're like, you know, pretty soon that's going to be you down there. I was like, yeah, hopefully, you know, I'm working for it. And the following week, I was in the 18 against the Houston Dynamo at home, which was, you know, at the time I was like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
And then, shoot, the following week, I'm in the 18 and, you know, I come on and play 32 minutes. So, you know, it's been quite a progression, something I've been working for and, I guess dreaming of since I was a little kid, and to, you know, have the chance to make that happen was something awesome. And, you know, I'm just working. I mean, I work every day just to push myself further and further. So that's where I'm at with it all now.
What was your plan? Because you were undrafted coming out of New Hampshire, and you weren't brought in to United's preseason setup till midway, maybe even halfway through their preseason. So, what were you doing, and what was your plan if the phone didn't ring with a keeper job?
Well, I signed with, you know, like as soon as the college, I would say, I guess I'll go back a little bit. It was last year. I mean, I've always been working towards going pro. I never really knew for myself if I really had what it takes until this past summer. I was with the Carolina Railhawks of the NASL. Mm-hmm. I was playing with their U23s, and then I trained with their, they invited me to train with their first team after just a few days of training with the 23 team. And I trained with the first team every single day over the summer. And at the end of the summer, they offered me a contract. But I finished out my fourth year of college. And, you know, after they're like, okay, well, as soon as the college season's over, you know, we'd like to bring you back down, which, you know, if I didn't come to DC, I probably would have ended up in Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as my college season ended though, I signed with an agent, you know, a group of guys, an agency that, you know, is one of the biggest and the best. I was humbled and really lucky that I got with this group. They've done amazing for me so far. And, you know, I did a couple of MLS combines. Like I went out to Las Vegas to an invite-only combine that was led by the Seattle Sounders. They were leading it, and there were a couple of other MLS teams just like in the stands watching and stuff like that. You know, and they wanted to bring me in as well in the preseason in Seattle, and I was looking at that, and I was looking at Carolina at the time, and then DC called. They called my agents. My agent called me and said, "This is a really good opportunity. They've seen you. Like, they'd really like to bring you in the preseason. I think you have a really good shot at it." As you know, it sounded like, to me, it sounded like the best chance to make a team. And then, you know, it's something I've said before is, you know, it would have been cool to, you know, fight for a spot out in Seattle. My family lives there and everything, but DC has been my hometown club.
Yeah.
You know, I went to middle school and high school in Pennsylvania, and, you know, I grew up like going to DC United games with my dad. So, but yeah, so that was one of the biggest things was I think I had the best chance to make the team here. And, also like at the boyhood club. So that was just something in my own head. I was like, you know, that'd be pretty special to make this team. And, live in this area, and I couldn't be happier with the decision I made.
Well, Travis, first, I have to correct you. I am from Philadelphia. You can say you're from Lancaster. I mean, you can just, you don't have to say Pennsylvania as if nobody, Lancaster, Pennsylvania in the house.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania, yes, sir.
And you know that I've got cred because I didn't say Lancaster, I said Lancaster.
You did say that correct. I'm pretty happy with that.
And I did. You know, the picture went around after you officially signed with the team of you in a United jersey as a kid, and you know, it's kind of cool as a guy who remembers the birth of the league. You see now guys who supported the league as kids now in the league, which is kind of awesome. You know, Ben Olsen, a Central PA guy himself. Did you look up to a guy like Ben Olsen, knowing he was kind of from your area and playing for your favorite or your hometown team, basically?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, growing up, I used to play at there's this complex down. It's about 30 minutes outside of Philadelphia in downtown PA called USTC, the United States like Training Center or something like that, and they have a huge, like, you know, poster on the wall. It's got to be at least 10 feet by 10 feet of Benny Olsen playing with FC Delco, which is, you know, I played for the PA Classics in the CAD back in club soccer, and Delco was our rival. But, you know, to see him, like, plastered up there, and I knew him from the MLS and going to DC United games, like, you know, seeing him, like, playing for his club team way back in the day when he was, you know, in high school, and I was in high school going out to this training field and seeing that poster, I mean, like, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, he's just got these humble roots from Central Pennsylvania, and he went to a big time college, and then now he's playing for, you know, he was with the national team. Yeah. He was, you know, he's an MLS legend. So coming into DC, you know, I think the first day I was down there at, I was brought into training camp with DC only about 5 days after their preseason had started. So it wasn't too long after they had started. But, meeting him, like, I was a little starstruck at first because, I mean, I had seen him on the field at least 15 times live, like, going to DC United games in middle school and high school. So, you know, of course, I never told him that. I'm sure he knows. But, seeing him play is, and then meeting him in person, I was a little like, wow. But him and I have connected over Central Pennsylvania. I think that's actually one of the first things he said to me is when we met, he's like, he looks at me and goes, "You are tall, like the classic Central Pennsylvania blue collar guy." And he was happy with that. So I was like, "Hey, I'll take it."
Well, you're the first guy that we've had on the show that is in a current loanee situation, and it's something that I find kind of interesting. And I wanted to get kind of a vibe of how your week kind of lays out, because, you know, I think for me as a fan of DC United or a fan of MLS, you see the guys who are loaned out and you go, okay, well, we're going to need them this week. So then they pop up on the bench in DC, and then 2 days later you see them playing in between the sticks for Richmond or wherever they need to be. So, you know, I know you live with Luke and Miguel, who are also Richmond Loney guys as well. So take us through kind of a generalization of what your week is like and how much traveling and how much extra things you guys have to do because you're choosing to play in Richmond every week.
Yeah. We train in we train in DC with DC United, either for the most part the week, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday. Either Wednesday or Thursday after training, our assistant coach Amos, who, you know, he's kind of like the liaison between DC and Richmond. And, he'll tell us, he'll send us a text like, hey, you guys are going to head down to Richmond tonight. You have practice there tomorrow morning. Call their coach, Lee Kalashaw. You know, call him when you guys get down there on your way or, what have you. So then it's about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive, depending on traffic. So we head down there and there's apartments for us to stay in down there. So, you know, like two of us will go stay with a pair of Richmond guys and then the other two of us will go to the other apartment in the same complex. It's just a couple doors down. I'm including Jalen Robinson as
yes.
well. Like the four of us don't stay in the same apartment together, but so we stay with a couple other Richmond guys. We'll train down there for a day or two and then we play a game, say Saturday night, we play with Richmond. And then after the game, we come back up to DC.
You come back up Saturday night or do you stay there and then come back Sunday?
Yeah, typically we come up after the game just so we can get back and, you know, sleep in our own beds,
yeah.
Sleep in our own beds up here in our apartment in Arlington, just be able to relax up here. I guess like this is our full-time apartment, so it feels a little more like, you know, it feels like home to us now. So
it's your full-time five-day-a-week apartment as opposed to your other full-time yeah. two-day-a-week apartment.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, the travel is, you know, at times it can be a little bit much, I guess, you know, because, I mean, it's every week. We're going back and forth, and especially, some days you expect to go down or, you know, it could be like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I could get a call today, you know, saying, hey, Dykstra's healthy. You're going to head down tonight. Okay.
Oh, right.
I never know. But I think it's important that, you know, we are going down there and getting experience. And I think that's been huge so far for all of us to get down there and, you know, log some minutes, get some professional yeah. experience because the level is, you know, the USL level is not much different than the MLS level, especially given the fact that, you know, when we played the Red Bulls 2 last week, I'm pretty sure their entire starting 11 were on MLS contracts.
Wow.
You know, they loaned out there. It was yeah. a midweek game. The first team played on like Friday the week before, and then they didn't play until Sunday the following week. So they had, you yeah. know, several days for these, you know, their guys who haven't been yeah. getting many minutes or haven't gotten any minutes at all to, you know, get a game in against us. And, you know, the Richmond team is really, really good. You know, we beat them and, you know, I was gone for the game against Montreal this weekend, but I watched it on YouTube to, you know, support the boys down there. And, you know, they got another win against Montreal. Who, you know, they're playing, they started Kenny Cooper, who's a,
yeah.
you know, he's another MLS guy who's been there forever and some national team call-ups and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, they shut those guys out as well. So, you know, the experience down there has been a huge help to myself. I feel a lot more confident and comfortable. And I know it does for Luke, Miguel, and Jalen as well, for sure.
Who drives?
Jalen and I switch.
How do we? Who draws the short straw? How do we decide who's the one that's going to drive?
Usually Jalen and I just go back and forth. Like, I'll drive all of us down, and then the next time he'll drive all of
Got
us
it.
Down. But actually, my car, because I drove down, it was only Miguel and I that went down there early in the week for the Red Bull game, and I drove my car down there, and then it was Wednesday afternoon when we were already in New York that I got the call that I was going to be going to Vancouver.
Jeez.
So,
So hang on. So you guys play New York Red Bulls midweek. You're in D.C. You have to drive south to Richmond to then get in a bus to drive north to New York?
You don't
throw out the, hey, you know what? I'm actually an hour and a half closer. I'll meet you up there. You can't do that.
I know. I mean, the coach down there wanted us for training, and I mean, it's
got it.
You know, it's important to get us down there for at least one training session. You got to plan for do some tactical shapes, sorts of drills and training and, get prepared to, at least a day or two before the game, you want to train the way you're going to play, which is using your starting 11 and that sort of thing, which, I guess the timing of, we drove right past our exit on 395. So
that's a kick in the butt, Travis. That is a kick in the butt right there.
I'm like, Miguel and I are on the bus waving to our apartment building as we're driving right past.
And so the end of your story is your car is a week later still in Richmond.
My car right now is sitting untouched at the apartment complex in Richmond.
Oh, man.
But Luke and Jalen are heading down tonight to go train there. So I think Luke is just going to drive my car back after the weekend. I might still end up heading down there. Off the record, I have no idea.
Travis, listen, you're just getting in the good graces of Ben. I don't want you to get in trouble with Ben. You don't even have to give me off the record stuff. I don't want to get you in trouble. That's all. I just want you to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Just say, hey,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I still may be going to Richmond this weekend. I'm not sure. That's your official comment.
Okay, all right, that's the way we'll put it then. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, obviously, the clubs reimburse you for gas and stuff like that. It's just, I think a lot of people don't realize, what you guys do in a typical week to be professional athletes and the constant driving back and forth to Richmond, the constant, even living with a guy for a night or two who's on Richmond who you kind of don't even know, but now you're living with them. And that's kind of a situation that people don't run across every day in their normal lives.
Yeah, exactly. But, as much as like the travel down there might be, not as much fun. I mean, just the process of sitting in a car for 2 hours.
Yeah, but it's a scenic drive, Travis.
Sure. It's not. It may not be like the, just the travel can be, sort of a bummer, just the 2 hours down, 2 hours back. But, the purpose that it serves has paid off for all of us. Yeah. And that's the most important thing is we're young and they're sending us down there to get better. And, we're definitely all getting better. And we're all, not only are we getting better for them, or for ourselves, but we're helping Richmond get results. Richmond right now is one of the top teams in the USL Eastern Conference. So we're helping out Richmond as a club, and the better we do, the better it is for our futures here at DC United. So that's the most important thing is that we're just every day is work and putting in the work to get better for ourselves for whatever club we play for, Richmond, D.C., that's the most important thing.
And whatever doubts or hesitations or kind of a grind you may have been feeling the last few months as you've been doing it, it's kind of this last week has been the, hey, look, this is the reason why we did it. This is the reason why we're doing it. And the payoff is I've got game experience. I'm coming in with pro game experience, and I was able to do what I had to do. And look what I got to do on this stage in front of my parents. That'll get you through the next few months of driving to Richmond every week.
Yeah. No, I mean, even, it was definitely special to get in and, make my debut. The biggest thing to me was just, helping out the team, doing what the team needs me to do. And at the time, it was coming in for an injured guy, well, two injured guys in front of me and helping secure a win. But, now it was, like I said before, Saturday night was great, but then Sunday, you know, it's back to work, back to getting better, and back to doing what I can to make myself better, to, you know, make whatever club I'm playing for better, whether it's D.C. or Richmond.
Travis, who was your backup if you had gone down?
Against Vancouver or
Of course, yes. Who was the guy that I'm sure there was a conversation and somebody said, I'll take the gloves if Travis can't continue, I will pick up his gloves and put them on.
I have no idea. Who would be the best field player goalkeeper at D.C.? I bet Bobby would do pretty well.
Come on, he's got no ups.
He's got no He scored a goal.
Okay. But you know what? You can't pull any of the back line guys out. So it can't be a back line guy.
Well, my next choice would have been Kofi then. He's extremely athletic.
Well, it can't be your back line. You can't disrupt the defense, especially when you've got a novice keeper.
We gotta have a good line in front of him. Luis Silva would make a very, very good goalkeeper. After training one day, Halsey, it was like maybe 2 weeks ago, Halsey was serving in some crosses, and I was just messing around and heading them in, and then Luis was like, hey, give me your gloves. So I gave him my gloves, and he was trying to save them. And he actually pulled out some bangers of a save.
Silva's our guy.
Full confidence in Luis Silva.
Now, I know you've been taking – you talked about how you were scoring some headers, but I know you've been taking a little bit of stick from – I don't know if it was just the kickers or from the United guys about your celebration with your PK save. I got to tell you, Travis, I applaud you. The keepers have no opportunities to show off moves, stanky legs, Charlie Davies style. I feel like you could start a thing where every time a keeper makes a big save, you should celebrate like you scored a goal. Do a backflip. Do something.
Well, I mean, every big save I've ever made before, you know, like, I think it's classic where, you know, keeper makes a big save, immediately yells as loud as he can at the nearest player.
Exactly.
You know, that's the biggest thing. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, like, I think as soon as I made the save and the ball was still in, I gave just like a very simple little fist bump and, you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
But then the ball rolls out of bounds and, you know, I give like one or two fist bumps to the Red Army over there in Richmond. And, you know, I mean, looking back on it on tape, I was like, okay, I got a little too into it. But in the heat of the moment, you know, like that game, we were under so much pressure. And if we would have conceded that goal, like,
yes,
I'm sorry. Like it would have been very hard not to concede another because we didn't clear it out of our half for 15 minutes. I watched the tape. We didn't clear it out of our half for 15 minutes before that penalty kick happened. And, you know, so I was happy that we could, you know, just try and coast out the rest of the game, those last 10 minutes. And, you know, I was, like I said before, I think to some other reports and whatnot, was, you know, the Richmond fans down there, like, had shown me so much love and support, like, that game, the game before, you know, whether it was kicking a ball or taking a back pass or just a simple little save, you know, like I could always hear them like cheering for me, whatnot. So, you know, I was just giving it back to them.
Yes.
And really thanking them for, you know, like being behind me and being behind the team and helping us out. You know, because, you know, fan support is huge and they do a good job down there and here in D.C. So,
I told you, Travis, you don't need to apologize to me. You should start the trend of keepers doing the overly, like, over-the-top celebrations like they do when they score goals.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever catch on. I know, you know, I think everybody in the D.C. locker room, like, brought it up. Like, most of them just laughed at it, like all the guys on the team. I don't think anybody had a problem with it. The goalie coach here in D.C. is Zach Thorne, and he gave me a slight, like, you know, it's a big moment. Congratulations. But just tone it down a little bit. You know, like, next one, you know, act like you were supposed to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
All right. Yes, sir. Like, you, sir.
Well, he's huge as well. So, yeah, you definitely yes, sir, Zach Thornton.
Yes, I will. Whatever any coach tells me, I'm going to do. So, especially Zach.
Well, Travis, I really appreciate the time, and I was fascinated to hear your story, and it was a dream week, and hopefully it's just a preview of things to come for you and your career, and thank you for taking the time to talk with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate the call and all the support.
Pitch Pass. This is your voice. This is my voice. show information, go to pitchpass.com.